Blog Talk Radio.
I was born by the river in a little tent in wool. Like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes, well. It's been too hard to live, but I'm afraid to die. Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will. See, I go to the movie, and then I go downtown. My brother keep telling me I'm not to hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change don't come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. I said, brother, oh, my brother, help me please. Then he winds up knocking me. Oh, keep knocking me back down on my knees. And whoa, there were times when I thought I wouldn't last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes, it did.
My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy Torah graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Yahweh. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Yahweh, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy Torah. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Baruch atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome once again to study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And once again, this is your brother, Ahabal, with the Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And we are in the first of our six-week journey in the word of Yahweh. And the title of this lesson, I'm not sure yet if it's going to be a series or not. I was actually going in another direction up to about 11:34 last night, to be exact. 23:45 was the time. 2345 was the time on my clock when Abba woke me up and said, I got to talk to you, son. Need to make a diversion. You know, I've been talking with my new colleague / brother all week at work, last couple of weeks rather, about where I thought initially Abba was taking me. And I believe it all will go along the same line as the thought that I was been giving me. But again, he woke me up and he kept showing me different things. 2345, you know, 0000, and all these different numbers. And I'm not getting off into numerology or anything like that, but I felt like Abba kept bringing my attention to the time that he was talking to me for a specific reason. They were always in a particular sequence, a particular order, like 0015. I was seeing all these 26. It's like he would always bring my attention as he's talking to me and going through the scriptures that he was leading me to talk about. And he gave me an entirely different title for it with the things that he was showing me. Because initially I thought I was going to be talking about Ezekiel 36. And I do believe that Abba is going to lead in that direction because times are changing, family. And the change is going to come. It is sure to come, family. You know, I'm glad it wasn't the Sam Cooke version. I really thought the change going to come was going to be the Sam Cooke version. But if it was, I'd probably be boo-hooing right now. Because the way Sam Cooke sings, it always seems to spark an emotion in me. And once I became a believer, the first time I remember hearing that song was back home. My mother and my father loved Sam Cooke. And as a kid listening to that song and just feeling his emotion in that song. And after watching that movie, I think it was called One Weekend in Miami or something like that, where it was him, Sam Cooke, and, you know, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, and Jim Brown, and just knowing what his struggle was and what he went through. And I'm not trying to get off into, you know, Sam Cooke's life or whatever, you know, but just understanding, hearing that song and the emotion it sparked. I remember it being one of the last songs that was played in the movie Malcolm X before Malcolm was about to, you know, be taken off the scene, and just the burden that he felt, but the dedication that he had to go on to, you know, that final destination, you know, the love and the desire he had to see, not just the change in his people, but the change in this world, you know, albeit he is of a different faith than we are, different understanding than you know, than we are, but none the same. You know, you can't diminish the dedication and what he was trying to do and being led to do, albeit not the truth, but he had a love for his people, and that's the point. You know, he had a love, and he developed a love for not just his people, African Americans and people of color from all over the world, but He developed a love for all mankind once he realized that there was a greater calling and a greater mission than just that of one particular group of people. And, you know, I often think about that scene whenever I hear that song, and, you know, and then listening to the words and understanding who and what Israel is and how it starts off. I was born by the river, and he was talking about he was raised in a tent. As a believer, just that line right there should sink in as to who led at least that first stanza, those first few bars of that song, that is about Israel, you know? And the change that we all hope to see, if not within our lifetime, but at some point in the existence of humanity. We know that a change is going to come. But one of the things that Abba Yah needs us to understand is we have to be active participants in that change as he is leading and guiding us. See, a lot of people, you know, and I'll be honest, I've fasted from just about all electronics and social media for like the last month or so. I just had my phone on do not disturb, silence, just not looking at anything, no TV, really, no nothing. Maybe a football game here, there. But for the most part, I've really tried to just keep my mind in a particular place and try to focus on listening to my brothers, my sisters, you know, and what the word has been saying, you know, and trying to really, because this is the first time, usually I have 3 months to get my mind right, and not having the luxury of 3 months, now it's shortened to 6 weeks, like, you know, no time to really let my mind, you know, get distracted and be strayed by certain things. Not that I ain't paying attention, definitely paying attention, because, you know, my brothers will always keep me informed in regards to what is taking place, but just trying to really a calm state of mind, because my mind has been all over the place. And one of the things that Abba has helped me to realize is, why is there so much anxiety in the world right now? Why is there so much mental distress among the world population right now? Right now, people need therapists, and therapists are in very short order right now. There is not enough therapists for the people right now that are requiring therapy. I ran into a friend at work the other day, and she shared with me, which I would have never known because she's always pleasant, always smiling, always upbeat, that she is suffering from a level of anxiety that she is taking off at least 4 weeks out of the month to just keep her mind in a certain place. But one of the things that Abba is helping me to realize is, as this world system is collapsing, that are suffering from anxiety. These fallen angels, these spirits, these dark spirits, and I'm not saying that people have dark spirits. I'm not saying that. Please don't think that I'm saying that. But these spirits are feeling anxiety. Why? Because they are starting to see the evidence of this system that they sold themselves out to starting to collapse. So just like, I mean, my brother was talking about this, just like when you was a kid and you was cutting up and you was doing, I was one of them kids, man, I used to cut up something terrible. My cousin used to watch me. And she was nice and sweet and kind and so loving towards me, but that little demon inside me used to make me do all kinds of foolishness. Until at which time I would look at the clock and realize my daddy was on his way home, and I would straighten up and get right. And I would go pleading to my cousin, don't tell daddy what I did. Don't tell daddy I did this. Don't tell daddy I did that. Don't tell daddy I hit you. Don't tell daddy. Please don't tell my father. Please, please, whatever you do, don't tell my father. And she was so merciful. She would be like, okay, Shawnee, I'm not going to tell. 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 Till one day she had enough. She said, you know what? You done crossed the line now. I'm telling your dad what you did. And this time she was serious. And she told my father. And I heard my father at the bottom of the stairs say, what? He did what? Boom, 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 boom. Came up the stairs, found a white belt, and commenced to tear my behind up. But this is what these spirits are feeling right now. These dark spirits know that we done messed up. The scriptures say they know their end and they tremble. They are afraid. And they're passing that anxiety that they're feeling onto human flesh. But you know what the answer is? Obedience to Yah. You know what the answer is to peace of mind? Staying in Yah's light. But they cannot. But so those that choose to abide with them are starting to feel the pressure. They're starting to feel the anxiety. Because the world right now is under pressure. It's the Titanic. It's a sinking ship in the frigid waters of the North Atlantic right now. This entire world system is on a collision course for what it cannot see coming right now. Because it wasn't the tip of the iceberg that took out the unsinkable Titanic. It was what lied underneath the waters that they didn't see, that when they ran into it, the unsinkable became very sinkable. But that's the system. It's on a collision course with the truth. It's on a collision course with Abiyah and his son, Rabbi Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And some of them know it and some don't. But they're in high panic mode. They think that they can get life rafts right now. They think that they are going to be able to escape it. This is why they have all these missions to Mars, family. They think that they could go to another planet, which is uninhabitable, to escape what is sure to come to planet Earth, our place of birth. The title of this lesson is The Weaponization of the Israel of Yah. He said, with you, I'm talking to everybody that's listening, who will listen, who is part of the Israel of Yah, with you I will destroy kingdoms. See, Jeremiah 51:20 reads, you are my battle axe and weapons of war. With you I will break the nations into pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. Think about that for a second, family. Let that sink into your psyche. Think of Abiyah if you ever watched the John Wick movies, right? Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, the John Wick of this joint right here. But you know what we are? We are the weapon in his hand that he is using to destroy his adversaries, family. And that is no small task. That is no small undertaking. But you know what? Just like you see in the movies, the hero does the impossible. Guess what? The impossible will be done. Because you know why? He said it. Got a couple of scriptures to go through, family. And thank you for my brothers who have let me know that I'm coming through with no issues. Family, again, Abiyah is trying to weaponize us for a major battle, one that will change the world forever for the betterment of all humanity. Now, the question is, do we believe that? Jeremiah 51:20, Akot, and I'm glad that you're on the line because I may need you, my sister Malka, you also, I hope my sister Moria is on. Moria, forgive me if I'm not sure which one is the proper pronunciation, my sister. I hope that you're on. I'm talking about my sister Malka's twin. And hopefully my sister Ahaba is on because I'm hoping that we can share, and also, I know Yaka'el is on, I saw his number, and also be able to share some experiences that we had together as young people in the faith, right? When I think back to where I was, when the last time Abba allowed me to be a vessel for him, you know, that was when, you know, the celebrities were going through their thing, the basketball player and the musician was going through their thing, you know, trying to bring out certain truths and, you know, the guard, the watchman, you know, the other set of alphabet people came out with the quickness and quelled any, they extinguished any spark before it could have become a fire. And that's their job. Because see, there's a lot at stake right now, family. Souls are at stake. Of Yah is surely coming. And the sad part about it is you have people who are under the pretense of servants of the Most High, but they're fighting against it. And one of the things that I'm going to keep drumming this until at some point we sit down and we get together and we're able, and Abba leads us and guides us through that word, because prophecies have to be re-examined. Because the Israel that they are looking at, I'm talking about the world, and the Israel that they are looking for, I'm talking about the world, has been this Judeo-Christian, Catholic,
Israel that is not the Israel of Yah. And all these prophecies have been built and surrounded by a people who he ain't talking about. And I asked Abba Yah to show me something in particular about that land and where it talks about it in the word. And hopefully by his permission throughout these 6 weeks, we're going to see proof positive he ain't talking about that land. That strip, that little strip of land they fighting over. He ain't talking about that. He not. When he's referring to Israel and end time prophecy, he is talking about his children, his people. He ain't talking about no other people. I'm going to just leave it at that. He ain't talking about nobody else. But see, if you are not looking forward to his coming and you are not looking forward to him taking control, if you are looking for another Messiah to come and take and do certain things, then guess what? You're fighting against the one you got the world believing that you serve in. But it's a lie. And we're going to see that in the word, fam. Maybe not today, but we are going to eventually see it. But I'm not going to get to yammering, family. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Here we go. Psalms 2:1. We all heard this before. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? My brother was just talking, went through the 6 weeks, beautiful, two beautiful sets of lessons, going through the mind. And my brother even mentioned it last night about the mind, about our way of viewing things, about our way of seeing things, about our association, who we are spending our free time with, because that's very important, very important. And what we spend our mental energy on. Abba has led me to read this book. It's called Think Like a Monk. And I have to tell you, it's been one of the most helpful books outside of the word that I have read in a long time, man. Now, granted, he goes off into his faith in it, but if you can separate the meat from the bone, if you can, as my brother says, chew the meat, spit out the bone. Because a lot of things that I'm realizing, it's been said before, in this new age type of movement, it's all based on scripture. And one of the things I learned from reading this, all of Paul's writings have been about one thing and one thing only, getting your mind right. Getting your mind right. Because I'm telling you, family, in this upcoming year and years to come, it ain't going to get no easier. The stage is being set. The title fight has been promoted. Do y'all realize it's about to be a year that these two countries have been at war? It started in February, if y'all remember. We're moving into a year that they have been at war. It isn't de-escalating. It's only going to escalate even more. There's so many things going on right now in the world. And my brother said it. He said, after these hella days were over, they want to gobble up everybody's money. They want to fatten them up. From October 31st up until January 1st, they want to get them inebriated. They want to get them outside their mind so that they miss everything that's going on. But when they sober up, when they realize what has been done and what has been going on, for many it's going to be too late. But they have been telling us for years now. They have been showing us their hand. See, the opponent is the ultimate copycat. And one of the things that Abba has done, he has bared everything for us to see. He has unfolded everything. He said, I revealed the end from the beginning. I've told y'all this. The Bible, the scriptures, the Torah, the writings, the Tanakh, you know what that is? It's all about the future. And you know what happens in the future? He wins. But before he wins, it's going to be, as my brother used to say, troublous times are coming. And when that's being said, it's not just about what you're going to go through physically. And hopefully my sisters are on the line so we can talk about some of our experiences. It's what you're going to go through mentally and spiritually when these people start to come against you. The physical part is the easy part. spiritual part, that's the part we've got to be ready for. Again, Psalms 2:2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed. Yes, Yahushua HaMashiach, but also all of those who have his anointing upon them. You, me, us, we are including all of that. It ain't just Yahushua by himself. If it was just Yahushua by himself, why did he just roll solo? Why did he pick 12 to roll with him? Why did he pick 70 to roll with him? Why did he have disciples rolling with him? If it was just about Yahushua, he could have done it all by himself. He ain't have to have no friends. He ain't have to have no associate. He ain't have to spend time with Peter. He ain't have to spend time with Matthew. He didn't have to spend time with Philip. He didn't have to spend time with any one of those people, Andrew, Simon. He didn't have to spend time with any of them. He could have done this all solo dolo if that's what it was about. It's not just about the work that Yahushua has to do, but he said greater works y'all going to have to do. Yeah, I did my part. Yeah, I fulfilled what Abba said I needed to do, but afterwards, y'all got some work y'all got to put in too. Are you ready, though? Because he called us to be weapons. Hear what they're saying about us, y'all, and pay attention. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They want no association with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're saying we don't want nothing to do with them. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Yahushua and Abba are having a great big belly laugh over what they see going on. Y'all really think y'all going to win? Hold up. Y'all going to out chess master, the chess master of chess masters? Y'all still on checkers. Y'all still jumping over pieces. We don't jump over pieces in chess. We take pieces off the board. Once that piece is off the board in chess, it's gone until the king falls. It ain't like checkers where you could get to the end and say, king me, king me, king me. Nah, it's finite. And there's a finite number of moves that Abba has already set in place. He's already seen the entire chessboard. He already knows the quote-unquote worldly chess master's moves, and he's already got him in checkmate. Are some of his soldiers going to fall off the board? Might we lose a couple of pawns? Might we lose a couple of rooks? Might we lose a piece here or there? Oh, yeah. He said that in his word, too. He said some are going to fall to the sword. Some are going to suffer famine. Some are going to suffer this. But trust and believe, the same way Elijah thought he was the only one, he said, I and only I remain. He crying out to Yah, but I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm shook. I'm the only one. He said, man, be quiet. You really think I would only rely on you? I got 7,000 that will never bow their knee to Baal. So get over yourself. You right now are the weapon of choice, but trust me, I got a whole arsenal. Ready to unleash. Clack, 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 bow, boom, bop, kaboom. When I'm ready. But see, just as the specialized weapons that he's looking for is the same, he said, he refers himself as a weapons master. Because he got a battle axe. So he a weapons master, right? He said weapons. Right? He ain't say sword. He said battle axe. So he got weapons. He got a sword and he got a battle axe. At least two. And he knows how to wield them. If you ever played a game where you could dual wield, that's one of the most awesome things to do. To have two weapons in your hand and just be like, ba 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 ba, slash, slash, cut, cut, chop, chop, chop. And one of the things that he's going to do, he's going to unload and he's going to unleash. But give it time. I'm sorry, family. I'm going on. He said, 2:4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And Yahweh shall have them in derision. He got them shook right now. Why he laughing? Think about that. He's like, and they're like, just imagine what they're hearing right now. Because these people are in tune with what's going on. See, they ain't like us. These people who have these principalities and powers and high places of darkness, they ain't like us. They know what's going on, and they're doing everything within their power. That's why they got the CERN thing going on. That's why they got their rocket ships going up in the air. That's why they got their satellites. This is why they're preparing. He created the Space Force to prepare for what? Prepare for what? For a preemptive strike, just in case they see that light coming, and the other lights coming with it. They're going to try to snuff it out. They just tried to snuff out the sun just before the pandemic. Remember that? And create a false one. But this is the stuff he laughing at. He's sitting in the heavens laughing. He said, Yahweh shall have them in derision. He's going to have them going crazy. We've seen it. Then shall he speak, this is 2:5, unto them in his wrath. See, he's going to go from laughing, ha-ha-ha, and then his mug going to get broke down real quick. And them ferocious lion teeth and claws that he got, oh, he's going to bear them. And he says this, 2:5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. He says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. See, he got the king. And I will declare the decree. Yahweh hath said unto me, thou art my son, Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give it. And I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. You heard what he said? He's going to give the heathen, the ones that whipped him, the ones that scourged him, the ones that thought they could punish his flesh into making his mind and his spirit submit. He said, Dave, you're going to inherit all they got, my son, as well as your disciples, your Talmudim. He says, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. That sounds like an oxymoron, don't it? Sound like a rejoice with trembling. That's like saying, say hallelujah, but you scared the whole time. You shook. Why? Because you know his judgment is sure to come. You better be in the right side of his judgment. He says this, and this is important. Kiss the Son. Embrace him. Put your lips on him. Hold him dear to you, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little. Baruch are all they that put their trust in him, the Son. Family, put your trust in him. All right, moving on. And this is where I may need my sisters. I hope y'all are there. If y'all on the line, Sister Mariah, Moria, the Malka, which I know you on, and my sister Ahava, if you're on the line, please shoot me a text real quick because I found out I can open the mic up for y'all to talk. So as I get to one part, I would hope that we could kind of commune on some experiences that we had as we were coming into the faith. So we're going to Matthew 10, family, just to let y'all know that it can happen, and it will happen because it happened to us, what this world intends to do by snuffing out the people. All right, my sister, hallelujah. I'm glad you on. I just need one or two. Prefer to have all y'all, but if you on, my sister, hallelujah, because I know you remember. So, Matthew 10:1, and when he had called unto the 12, his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now that the names of the 12 apostles are these, the first, Shimon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. 10:5. These 12 Yahushua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely ye have received, freely ye give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman's worthy of his meat. and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house and salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace, your shalom, come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, know when to get low, and harmless as doves. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Isn't that what we've seen happening? The ADL is a religious organization. It stands for a certain sect of people whose interests they have in mind. And if you look into the history of the ADL, you know who? It was a man who was accused of a crime that he was guilty of. The act that he did, he accused a black man of committing that act. But this organization was created to protect this man who lied about his actions. He accused another man of committing the crime. And we paid a price for it, a price that they're trying to suppress in history about what had happened. But I want to pause here for a second. And if my sister, could you text me your number real quick? Because I want to talk about, walk with me a little bit back in history, family. So when we first came into the faith, and I was reminiscing on this the other day, actually this morning, this day. And, you know, when Gershom McDaniel, who we knew back then as Rabbi McDaniel, used to take these four and a half to five hour journeys up to Long Island, New York, at the request of who, you know, our brother who was leading us at that time, to come and share the word with us. And he brought his chief student, who we knew at that time as Brother Lenny. And they would come up. They would take this five-hour journey up to Long Island, New York, to come see these bright-eyed, bushy-tailed little children that wanted to hear about the word. And as this movement started to spread on the campus, started to cause an upheaval. I mean, you had a lot of people who were starting to come into this knowledge of Yahweh and Yahushua, but then you also had a counter movement that was trying to quell the movement to the point where they wanted the brother who was teaching us at the time to be arrested. They wanted they wanted all of us to stop perpetrating as though we were Jews. You know, our campus had a big Hillel organization, and they also had a Hellenistic League. We had both of these, and not to mention, you had the other religious denominations that were on the campus that were all against us. For what? We weren't harming anybody. All we were out there doing was trying to share the goodness of what we had learned. Right or wrong, my brothers, my sisters that are on the line, all we were trying to do was share this, and it was taking off. When we first started coming into the faith, we had about 20, 25 people, I believe, that were all coming and communing. We used to have set up teachings and stuff, and Gershom McDaniel used to come up to the campus, and a lot of people came to hear him talk. And Brother Lenny used to come up, and he used to teach us lessons when Rabbi couldn't make it. Well, I think they both came together. My memory might be a little lost there, but there was only one time that I remember Brother Lenny couldn't come up was because his wife was well into her pregnancy and he couldn't leave her side at that point. But even my beloved sister who has gone on was gracious enough to allow her husband to come up, make that five-hour journey where she was into her pregnancy in order to teach these kids the word. But as this thing started to spread, you had this counter movement, and they brought us literally into these councils. We had to sit before a female rabbi, a Catholic priest, and an interdenominational faith teacher on the campus. And they tried to convince us at the request of our parents at the time that we were involved in a cult and that they were going to abuse and abuse us. Right? Wait, come on, my sister. I need you to share this testimony with me now. I need your number. Text me your number, please, Akko T, so that you can bear witness to what we went through up there, because I know we were all together. And one of the things, all right, what's your number, Akko T? There it is. Hold on, hang on. I almost said your number online. Let me find it. There you go. All right, sister. Shalom. Boker Tov, Shabbat Shalom. Now, facts. You said facts, right? Shabbat Shalom.
You're taking me back. Huh? You're taking me back, Ak. You're taking me back. Huh? It's almost like triggering.
This was over 30 years ago.
Yeah. And you know what? To be honest, Ak, I still have residual emotions with that, because it's like anytime I try to share the word with people, I get this sense of fear. And I get, it flashes me back right back to Adelphi. Mm-hmm. When you read those scriptures, you know, I wish people could really imagine that's exactly what we went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to hide the brother on campus.
What?
When they were looking for him. We had to hide him,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, we literally were taken before. The only person we didn't go before was the president of the university. You know,
Demondopolis, right?
that's the only person we ain't go before. But literally, it was like, and what was so confusing for me was I couldn't understand, because we were young in the faith, I couldn't understand how serving God, trying to walk in obedience to what the Bible said, was causing such an uproar around everything. Our houses, our families, our relationships, our friends, the whole university. I remember being in my room and outside of my bed crying, because it just didn't make sense. You would figure people would be appreciative of young people doing something positive and trying to just walk in obedience to what they were learning, and that was not the experience. And that's exactly what the Messiah spoke of in the scripture you just read in Matthew 10. You know, we walked it, and that was
Amen.
A small scale, because the university is a microcosm.
Hallelujah.
That's a small scale, truly, of what's the future of those who are going to be carrying this banner of being a believer in Torah and a believer in Mashiach. That was a small scale. And that one of the verses you just read, you know, we had to persevere. Because, like you said, and sometimes, Aki, there was like 20, 25 of us in Bible study, right?
That's right. That's right.
How many of us stayed, Ak?
I can only count four at this point.
Okay, from that room of 25, we still got four standing.
Hallelujah.
Moria, and myself
that we know of. Amen. I mean, and tell them, it wasn't just the people, our parents came against us. Our parents, remember when we were at Rabbi's house after Shabbat one night, remember? And we were up there, it may have been after one of the holy days, remember? Tell them about it, Akko T. All of a sudden, Rabbi was in a good mood, he was barbecuing, feeding us, and then all of a sudden his mood changed, and he said, what? Somebody sent a spirit after me. Right?
Kids.
And he said, wait a minute now, what's going on? And then we came to find out one of the sisters that was with the came became real silent. And then remember, they sent police to the house, right? For a wellness check. Kids. Now, our family that was up in New York sent the police from New York, had them contact the state police in Maryland. Maryland State Troopers sent them to our house with Harford County Police to Rabbi's house and told them that we were being held against our will. That we were in a cult and that all of our lives were in danger. This is what our parents did, right or wrong.
Kane, and you know, I wish to this day I knew how to even knew Rabbi's name, where he lived, you know, just to show you, because, again, there were dark forces involved in this. We can testify that one of the people who was fellowshipping with us, her mother was a witch, certified witch. Ahava's on the line. She knows, certified witch.
Can I click you in, my sister? Ahava, you there?
Yes.
All right. I got two witnesses, so y'all know we ain't lying. Got two witnesses on here. Let's talk about it, Akotis.
Okay, and so this witch, I know she somehow found out Rabbi's name, address,
mm-hmm.
and like you said, the police came and all that. But this woman, this witch, was so devious that she sent the spirit on her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all able to see it. And this is, again, we're,
mm-hmm.
we're brand new. We're brand spanking new. We're months in
mm-hmm.
into the faith. Months in. And we were having Bible study at another sister's house. And the daughter of this witch, she was pregnant at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there. And I remember that we couldn't see her face anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me that we were looking at her. And we realized, like, we kind of, one by one, you see her face? Like, what's wrong with her face?
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh allowed us to see that she had, that the mother had put a demonic spirit on the daughter
mm-hmm.
to get
mm-hmm.
to us.
Mm-hmm.
But Yahweh allowed us all to see. We were like, yo, what's wrong with her face? Like, we can't see
mm-hmm.
her face.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yep, sure do. I do.
Mm-hmm. And but then what did Rabbi do? He went to his prayer closet. He said what?
Amen.
Y'all remember what he said at the end? What did he say at the end?
Return to sender.
Return to sender.
Yeah.
He said return to sender. And then the police called us all to the door and was like, who's so-and-so? Who's so-and-so? Who's so? Are you this person? Are you this person? We were like, yeah. He said, are you okay? We were like, we fine. We got plates of food. You know how Rabbi was? We had steak in one hand, chicken fried rice in a bowl. We sitting there eating. We got yin and mabusha. And we in there chilling, having a good time. And they're looking at us like, wait a minute now. Y'all supposed to be in danger. The state police and Harford County police are looking at the sheriffs and like, y'all supposed to be in danger. Y'all look like y'all having a good time. And we were like, yeah, we are. We good. You know, tell our parents thank you for their concern, but we good down here. We being treated
Amen.
Very well, you know?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Anything else y'all
Hallelujah.
Would like to share?
Mm-hmm.
My sisters, anything else you want to
that
share?
That was a time.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was. So the whole point of that family to stop there to say, this is real. We experienced it. We saw these things. We went through these things. We know what people are capable of doing when their interests in this world are threatened. Again, we had the female rabbi, the Catholic priest, the interfaith, interdenominational faith man that was there, and the three of them were there to deprogram us from this thing that they called a cult. But lo and behold, to this day, hallelujah, we are still here by the grace of Yahweh. Hallelujah, my sisters. Toda
hallelujah.
For chiming in
hallelujah.
And sharing testimony with us. Hallelujah.
Amen,
all
amen.
Right, hallelujah. Shalom, y'all.
Shalom.
All right, family. And thank you again to my sisters for sharing that. I appreciate y'all. Because it's real. It can happen. It's not unfathomable to think that the world can get to that point that they will do these things. The very same loved ones. And again, these were our loved ones that did this to us. Our loved ones. Again, he says, I'm back to 10:16. Behold, I send you out send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to their councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And just one other thing on that note while we're there, and this is what kind of upset me about these celebrities, we had nothing. We were kids. We didn't even have jobs. We were full-time students. That was our job. We were full-time students and children at that time. So if you're convicted, you are convicted. If you are convinced, you are convinced. If you are fully persuaded in this way, nothing will deter you from it. Nothing. Because people will do everything within their power to make you think that you're crazy, to make you think that you're off your rocker. But you have to stand firm and stand strong and be steadfast in this way unto Yahweh. But The glory that we have is we know the future. We know what's sure to come. And in the end, Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach wins. And he says, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given to you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that spirit of your father which speaketh for you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciples that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So when they come up against you, for Yahushua's name's sake, for Yahushua's name's sake, and for Yahweh's name's sake, and for the way of life that you walk, know and understand, because you are in his house. You are part of his family. You dwell within his bayit. And glory in that. 10:26. Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid, that shall not be known. When I tell you what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And this is the part, family. This is the part that we have to bear in mind what we are. Think not that I am come to send peace on. And think about Yahweh's timing. Right now, we're in the last day of peace on earth and goodwill towards men and all that, you know, like my girl saying that commercial, you know, giving is the best, blah, 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 blah. You know, all of that is a bunch of mumbo jumbo from the 25th on to the 1st, because guess what? Murderings ain't stopped. As a matter of fact, one fool who they just busted had the nerve to post his ghost guns on as ornamentation on his Christmas tree. I looked at even one of the movies that they had out during the season called Violent Night. What are they telling us about this system? What are they telling us? There's a movie where Santa Claus is going around killing people. Message. And when it first came out, I'm like, dang, this is what the season has come to? So they're letting you know from 10:31 all the way on down, it's nothing more than about violence. Because to make a movie such as that speaks volumes to me. Violent Night? So y'all know what this is all about. Y'all know what y'all want to do to people. Y'all know you're out to do nothing but destroy people with this time of year. And again, and let this be ingrained in your psyche. Matthew 10:34. This is the only book this is set in. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I'm not here to send peace on earth and goodwill towards men. This is what I came for. I came not to send peace, but a sword, a weapon. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. This is important. He that loveth father or mother more than me
is not worthy of me. Don't take that lightly. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Don't take that lightly. And he that taketh not his stake and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Don't take this burden lightly. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Don't take that lightly. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Don't take that lightly. He that receiveth you receiveth me. Understand who you are. Understand what you are. And to him in particular, he said, think about that. Like Paul said, we are ambassadors. We represent him. So he said, if those who represent me are received by somebody, they are receiving the Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach as well. Do y'all understand that? Seriously, look at yourself in the mirror at some point and say to yourself, I represent Yahushua HaMashiach, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the soon-to-come ruler of this entire universe. Again, 10:40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Who sent them? Abba Yah. So think about this. You are a representative of the sovereign over the universe, the creator of everything. The creator of the thing that created everything. Think about that, family. 10:41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to you drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose. So even the slightest kindness that somebody does to you is valuable towards their credit in the kingdom of Yah. Think about that for a second, family. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Sorry if you hear my dog barking in the background. He's doing his job. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Moshiach, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. Let me get that in another version, just in case it's not clear and I didn't read it correctly, right? He said, yes, I beg you, and I'm reading from the WEB, yes, I beg you that I may not, when present, show courage with the confidence with which I intend to be bold against some who consider us to be walking according to the flesh. So if you're not walking according to the flesh, what are you walking according to, family? The spirit, right? So that you are a spiritual being, because now you are choosing to walk after what? The Torah. What is the Torah? The Torah is spiritual. So that makes you a spiritual being. It makes you angel-like. Heavenly like. Do we understand that? Don't look at yourself in the same manner. You got to look at yourself differently, because if you don't believe, and trust me, it's all about the mind. So my brother took 6 weeks to painstakingly go through the cerebellum, the amygdala, the occipital lobe, and all that, while at the same time showing how these things are directly related, not to just our physical being, but to the Torah. Do y'all get that? That this is, it's not what the brother is trying to tell you, whether it's Yara'al, Yake'el, Deyu'al, or Ari'al. Did I say Yara'al? It's not what these brothers are trying to tell you. It's what Abba is trying to give unto you. I hope you understand. Shabbat is not what, it ain't the message we trying to give. It's the message that Abba is trying to give. We are but vessels that he chooses to fill up, pour out, let it sit for a while sometimes,
and then fill up again, because my mind was nowhere near scriptures for a few weeks. It wasn't. No scripture, because I've been bogged down with an assignment at work. So my mind wasn't really even on scriptures for a little while, because I let the cares of this world get in between me and my relationship with Abba. And I'm being honest about that. But once he was able to quiet me down and get my mind right, he said, here's what I need you to say. Here's the path I want you to walk in my word. This ain't my will. This is his will. 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't wage war according to the flesh. We war not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness in high places. We better start believing that, because it's about to become a reality. And that's why my sisters came on and shared that with y'all. We done seen the darkness that came upon a person in real time with our own two eyes. Said out of the mouth, out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'm not sure who else was there, but I know my two sisters were there. And they shared with y'all proof positive spirits are real. Possession is real. We synced it. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before Yah to the throwing down of strongholds, throwing down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of Yah. Do y'all hear that? These imaginations that are against the knowledge of Yah. But this is where we are admonished. We have to, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Moshiach. The brain is just an organ, as my brother illustrated for the last 6 weeks. It is just an organ. But what is most important is with that spirit that goes on, those thoughts. You know, one of the things that I'm learning from this book is, think about what you're thinking about. Be aware of your thoughts. Be mindful of your thoughts. Start to note your thoughts. Don't let thoughts just go. One of the things that you should always ask, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral, why am I thinking about this? Why? Get to the root of why you're thinking about this. One of my favorite movies, Inception. It's in my top five, probably my top three is Inception. And it ain't all about the bang, bang, shoot 'em up of the movie, but it starts off with one thing. He said, what is more resilient, a virus, an intestinal wound? He said, no. He said, a thought. Because once a thought is placed in the mind, it is nearly impossible to eradicate. And it's very important that you start to pay attention to your thoughts. Start learning how to keep these thoughts, keep this level of awareness of what's going on inside that void of the mind, because that's where the battle is being waged. Within us. Because any action, whether good, bad, or in between, starts with what happens in your thinking. So start being more aware of that, family. Think about what you're thinking about and always ask, why? Is it a positive thought, a negative thought, or a neutral thought? If it's a negative thought, why am I thinking this negative thought? Find the root of it. Even if it's a positive thought, find the root of it. Why am I thinking about this? And then once you get to the root of it, reconcile it. Find ways to deal with it, whether it's childhood trauma, whether it's recent trauma, whether it's in vitro trauma, whether it's something that's epigenetic, understand why you're thinking what you're thinking. It's important. So he says 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before Yah to the throwing down of strongholds, throwing down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Moshiach, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience. when your obedience will be made full. Do you look at the things only as they appear in front of you, in front of your face? Hear what he's saying. Do you look at things only as they appear in front of your face? If anyone trusts in himself that he is Moshiach, let him consider this again with himself, that even as he is Moshiach, so also we are Moshiachs. For though I should boast somewhat abundantly concerning our authority, which the Master gave for building you up and not for casting you down, I will not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I desire to terrify you by my letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is despised. Do y'all hear what they're saying about Paul? You hear what they're saying about Shaul? He said his letters are strong, but physically he's weak. They're looking at him as a feeble person. So Paul is obviously writing this at a later time in his life, not when he was the feared assassin Paul that was going after the believers. Now he is the older, less agile Paul. Again, for his letters, they say, are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is despised. Let such a person, 10:11, consider this, that what we are in the word by letters when we are absent, such are we also indeed when we are present. For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond proper limits, but within the boundaries with which Yah appointed us, which reach even to you. For we don't stretch out ourselves too much. I don't went way beyond, but I'm going to read it to the end anyway. For we don't stretch ourselves too much as though we don't reach to you. For we, even as far as to you, with the good news of Mashiach, not boasting beyond proper limits in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith grows, we will be abundantly enlarged by you in our sphere of influence, so as to preach the good news even to the parts beyond you, not to boast in what someone else has already done, but he who boasts, let him boast in Moshiach, in the Master. For it isn't he who commends himself who is approved, but whom the Master, Yahushua, Rabbi Melech HaMashiach, commends. Amen? Amen. All right. Last couple of scriptures, family. And again, reading the initial passage, Jeremiah 51:20, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Now keep your finger right there when he says, I will break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Daniel, the book of Daniel. Where am I? Daniel chapter 2, family, starting at verse 31 through 35, family. Daniel 2, 31 through 35. And this is after Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of the great image, and none of his soothsayers could interpret it or even tell him what he was dreaming about. And then he goes to Daniel, and Daniel cries out to Yahweh and says, reveal to me what was in this man's mind, and then also give me the interpretation, right? So this is where we are. And he says, Daniel 2:31, you, O king, saw and behold a great image. This image, which was mighty and whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and its presence was terrifying. As for this image, its head was of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part clay. You saw until a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet. We are in the era of the feet of the image, family. We are in the era of the image of the feet. Okay? Now remember, the feet was part iron, part clay. Okay, well, it says that right there. You saw, back to 2:31. You saw until a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet that were of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, For with thee will I break in pieces the nations. With thee will I destroy kingdoms. Do we see that? Yes, the stone is Yahushua. Of course, the stone is Yahushua. But guess what? We are also in line with him because he said he's going to use us to break this image into pieces. Daniel 2:34 again. You saw until the stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on his feet that were of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Remember what he told us, that if you receive him, you receive one of us, you are receiving him. We are one and the same. We are part of this stone family. We are part of prophecy, and they understand what is taking place. This is why they're fighting against this truth about who we are coming out, family. But hold on and stay strong and stay firm and walk with pride in the fact, and not a worldly pride, not a boastful pride, but an understanding that you are his and he is yours. And uphold his name and his son's name. Again, not with a boastful pride, but a humble type of pride. And it says, back to 2:34, you saw until the stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on his feet that were of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. That's what the battle axe is going to do. 2:35, then the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold were broken in pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no place was found for them. The stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. There's a couple more scriptures, family. Bear with your brother. Ahaba. We're going to Shemot, the book of names. It ain't just about the book of Exodus, the book of names. Here we're going to start with these names. 1:1. When my brother read it during his teaching, my brother Ariel during his teaching, something stood out to me. And me, him, and my brother Mar'al talked about it. Now, these are the names of the sons of Israel who came into Egypt. Everyone in his household came with Yaakov. Now, you know, I'm not going to die right. Reuben, think about it. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Why he named those first four, right? We know that that's the order they came in, right? But he says, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. 1:3, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. 1:5, all these souls who came out of Yaakov's body were 70 souls. Now, we want to take a look at this word, 70. Why he mark that it was 70 souls that came out. Let's look at the word 70. Now, I know in human nature, Yaakov has given everybody a little touch of gematria, right? The numerical system that is, and which is the word found within the Torah, right? It ain't, because for those who don't know, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in a language called Hebrew, and Hebrew has an alpha numeric value. Right? It has a number as well as a symbol associated. It's a mnemonic, right? It has a symbol associated with it, right? If you don't know, bear with me. I'm going to try to keep this as concise and hopefully as you're able to understand it, right? So each letter is not like the letter A, for instance, in our language that you just see the letter A. The Hebrew equivalent has a numeric value to it. It has it's a mnemonic, meaning that it's a symbol, it's an icon for something, as well as a phonetic value to it. It has those properties to it, right? So it doesn't just, you don't just look at it and say A or A. You look at it and it denotes something to you. It speaks to you, right? So 70 souls. Now, let's look at that word for 70. Why he say 70 souls, right? And it's so funny because my brother put a post out about, you know, why his name was being spelt a particular way. And it's Hebrew 7657 in your Strong's Concordance. Hopefully, you know, you have your study tools ready. And it's Shebaim. Shebaim, right? Shebaim. Shebaim. The multiple of 7651. So we'll look at that. 70. 70, 70, 70 is what it says. All right. So it's a higher level of the seven, right? So if you take the zero off of the 70, you have seven, right? 7651 is Sheba, Sheba, right? From 7650, a primitive cardinal number 7, as the sacred full one, right? Also adverbially, 7 times by implication, a week by extension, an indefinite number. 7, sevenfold, 17, 17th, 7th, 7 times, right? Let's go to 7650, okay? So just sum it all up. Shabbat, primitive root, properly to be complete, but used only as a denominative from 7651 to 7 oneself, that is, swear, as if by repeating a declaration 7 times, to adjure, charge, by an oath, with an oath, feed to the full, by mistake for 7646, to take an oath, straightly to cause to swear, right? So now, when you think about that 7 and it being the 7th letter, go to the 7th letter. What is the 7th letter in Hebrew, if you know it? It's Aleph, Wav, Zion. What is the Zion, if y'all remember from the Hebrew classes? It is a weapon. So when he planted those 70 souls in there, he was letting you know, I'm fulfilling my oath. I am fulfilling something with those 70 souls that are going down into Egypt, and I'm going to weaponize them. I sent them down there for the purpose of being a Zion, a weapon. But I'm going to magnify that weapon. That's why it's 70 souls that went down there, not just he could have just said the 12 sons and their descendants. He could have said just Yaakov, his sons, and their descendants. But why mark 70 souls? Because one, all we read about that 70, that oath, that Sheba, I'm going to fulfill. And remember what my brother talked about not too long ago. See, everybody thinks that the Shabbat day is going to be a day of rest. No, it ain't. When Yahushua come back, it's time for war. It's time for the fight to be on. And you know what? Who's going to make the first strike? Them dummies. These earthlings down here, these foolish earthlings, they're going to be the first ones to make that strike. He's all right with that. Then beat him up first. But you know what he's not going to do when he comes back? Not fight back. He's going to fight back. And he's going to fight back hard. He's going to use everything within his means to bring about his will during that seventh day, during that millennium, during that Shabbat day. He said, my Father in heaven works, so I do work too. The seventh day ain't just about chilling, laying back. No, that seventh day is going to be about getting busy. It's going to be about tearing down strongholds. It's going to be about destroying things. As what Jeremiah says, to what, root up, tear down, and replant? That's going to be the era of Jeremiah, not the dawning of the age of Aquarius. It's going to be the dawning of the age of Jeremiah. Root up, tear down, and then plant back and build back upon that. Where am I? Okay. And he said, all the souls that came out of the loins of Yaakov were 70 souls, for Yosef was in Egypt already. And Yosef died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly. Didn't he say that 70 means it was going to be magnified? And exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Couldn't get away from them. Couldn't get away. 70 went down, and now you can't get rid of them. They got so many of them running around there. 1:8, Shemot 1:8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Yosef, a new regime, a new leadership. A new person sitting on the throne, and he didn't realize that Joseph went down there and saved Egypt. Him and his brothers saved Egypt. 1:9, and he said unto his people, behold, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Not only are they more than them, see, they're mighty. See, everybody looks at Esau as being the tough one. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was just more brutal, more cunning, more crafty than Yaakov was. That's all. He just used more brute force. But when it came to true strength, Yaakov was the strong one. You don't hear about Esau wrestling an angel, but Yaakov did. You don't hear about this angel subduing Yaakov. Mm-mm. It said they were kicking up dust. They were kicking up dust, mano y mano. They were wrestling. They were fighting. They were in the midst of Naphtali. And that angel couldn't subdue them. That's not a weak person. We see what these angels can do to human beings. When Daniel encountered that angel, he fell out, boom, flat, flatlined almost. So Jacob fighting an angel, that wasn't no weak thing. It wasn't until the angel touched his hip, he had to invoke a superpower against this man to bust up his hip. And at that point, Jacob still didn't let go. He said, I ain't letting go till you bless me. That ain't no weak person. So they know this, and they looking at this. Look at what we do in athletics. Look at what we are able to do with our physical. That's the strength of Jacob. All it takes is just a little bit of that DNA, and you good to go. You do some of the most tremendous things in athletics. Patrick Mahomes, Ricky Waters, Deion Sanders, Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan. As Jacob, the whole world right now, the whole world has hijacked what started up in the Bronx, hip-hop culture, which came out of the ghetto, the hood, and was existent within the five boroughs of New York, has taken over every country. Hip-hop culture is the dominant culture in the world. It's in every commercial, just about. They could be selling Cartier diamonds, and they're using a hip-hop song to promote it. That's how dominant, that's how forceful, that's how powerful Jacob is. But see, once he became Israel, once that physical prowess was taken from him, it went to a whole nother level. 110. Come on, let us deal with them wisely, lest they multiply and it come to pass when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies. Do you see what their fear is? What? So they know a war is imminent, and they know that if they have these people on their side, the enemy, because that's the only thing they're trying to prevent, the Egyptians and their leaders, that they don't side with the enemy. Who's their enemy? Who are the, who, when the time of our deliverance came, who did Yahweh smite? Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt. That's the enemy that they're worried about us siding with. Let me read on. When there falleth out war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. This is what the Egyptians are saying about the Israelites. And so get them up out of the land. We don't want them to leave. We need these. They're detestable to us, but we need them. We ain't trying to go out there and do all that work. That's what the Egyptians are saying. 111. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I had to chuckle at that because it's like, we don't die, we multiply. We baby's kids, Bet's kids, huh? Baby, why baby? Bet, huh? Bereshit bara, huh? See, he thought he was coming up with something clever, but Yahweh had something else for that. The double bet. He knew that he was going to fatten his house. They know that too. That his house was going to be fattened with them, the children of Israel. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children. They want to get us up out of this country so bad. But you know what? Who going to do all the work? Who going to do all the work? They don't want it. Who going to make them that money? If these brothers only knew their worth. If Kyrie, you don't need the NBA, bro. If all y'all were to divest, Lamar, you don't need them, bro. If we got wild and divested all of our interest from the NBA, the NFL, do you know when Major League Baseball was at its best was when we embraced that game? Do you know that MLB, Major League Baseball, has its lowest attendance in its entire existence? You know why? Because we're not interested in it anymore. But you know which sports are the most popular and the most money-making? The NFL and the NBA. Why? Do y'all know in athletics, in college athletics, that the entire athletic department, I'm talking about all other sports from basketball all the way down to tiddlywinks, is supported off of a 10-game football season, and that's an economic fact for every institution that is a sport, for Clemson, for Auburn, for Duke, for Harvard. All of these schools make their money off of the football program. Don't take my word for it. Go look it up for yourself. And 90% of the most powerful players that they want to see are brothers of color. That's a fact. Now imagine, look at what Deion Sanders did by going to Jackson State. This is why people were so upset about him going to, and I know my brother Chevelle said he going with him, right? This is why they were so upset about him going to Colorado University. Because they know arguably one of the greatest athletes America has ever produced is going to bring with him a following. He's going to be able to, just on his name alone and his reputation, recruit some of the best players in the country. You have all players from all walks of life saying, oh, if Deion ain't, I'm going. Imagine now if he said, you know what, I ain't going to nobody's college. I'm going to start my own thing. If you take all that color out of the NBA and NFL, it will crumble, period, period, period. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick. The moment you say, bruh, I'm a Hebrew Israelite, the more you see you standing for Yahweh, they're going to take your money and your career from you. They just showed that's what they can do within a blink. Oh, you want to brag you're a billionaire? You just said the name Yahweh. You told your people that they're Israelites. Well, guess what? Now you're a millionaire. Oh, you still talking? Okay, we're going to freeze up your accounts. Oh, you still ain't going to shut up? All right, well, we're going to erase you from existence. Last time you heard about that, you heard that brother's name. See? Proof positive. He proved them right. I hope we're paying attention because it's coming for us. If they could do that to somebody who got billions, millions, what they going to try to do to people who ain't? And that was the point of my sisters coming in and showing this is what they're going to do to each and every one of us. At some point, we may have that day of reckoning. Are you going to be willing to stand with Yah and see the greater prize, or are you going to fall back into this world system and rely on it? Because it can happen. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve with rigor. All right, just a couple more scriptures, family, and they all going to speak to the same thing. Why would – get off my phone. Exodus, Shemot 6:26. Reads, these are that Aaron and Moshe to whom Yahweh said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. 7:4. Next chapter, 7:4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Let's go down to 12:17. Shemot 12:17. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day I brought your armies. Now, why is he associating that with the Feast of Unleavened Bread? I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. What my brother just talked about last week. Use that cerebellum. Use that occipital lobe. Use the other whatever lobes in your mind to keep these things in the forefront of our mind, family. He liberated his armies on Passover. Let's go down to 12:51, family. This will be the last scripture for the day. And it came to pass that selfsame day that Yahweh did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their military forces. Your weapon in the hand of Yahweh. Again, Jeremiah 51:20. Let this be continually going through your mind. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. With you, I will break the nations into pieces. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. Shalom, family. Shalom. Love you all. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the Universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch Atah Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Abba Yah, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for your people. I pray for your loved ones. I pray for all that you have called out, Father, by name, for all that you have invited into your house, for all who answered the door when you knocked, Father, all my brothers and sisters throughout the universal house of Beth Yahweh and to our little part, our little house of Beth Yahweh, Father. Look after us continually with mercy and kindness, Father. Where we are weak, Father, strengthen us. Where we need comfort, Father, comfort us, Father. Where we need guidance, Father, guide us, Father. Father, as your little children, we cry out to you, Father. You know what's in our heart, Father. We all fasted yesterday, Father. In oneness of mind and oneness of spirit, Father. So that, Father, you will hear our prayer and answer, Father. There are a few things that we have on our heart, Father. Father, we are looking for a place, Father. Lead us and guide us to a place, Father, so that we can put your name there, Father, and that we can commune on Shabbat, Father, with one another, Father. We are yearning to be in the midst of a house, Father, that we can see one another, those that are of like minds, those that keep your Shabbat, Father. We're looking for a place, Father. Lead us and guide. Lead and guide any one of us to that place, Father. Make the way straight for us, Father. Father, unify us, Father. Heal the brokenhearted, Father. Bind up their wounds, Father. Bring families together, Father. Keep families together, Father. Keep husbands and wives together, Father. Strengthen brothers, Father, who are weak. Strengthen sisters who are weak, Father. Ease our hearts. Ease our pains. Ease our burdens, Father. Father, as we go through this winter season, Father, we know that things for the world are going to get tight, Father. As my brother stated, those hella days are over. So now the trickster that he is, Hasatan, the opponent, Father, is going to show forth now what his will and his intent is for the world, Father. But we know, Father, that you have already won the battle through your son, Rabbi Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father. And all we ask, Father, is that you keep us in the way, Father, as your jewels are tucked away and hidden in your armoire, Father. We ask that you protect us and you keep us tucked away, Father, under the cover of your wings. Be that high tower, Father. Be that refuge for us, Father, through these dark times. The same way, Father, that you were able to protect my brother and sister from the harsh winter cold, Father, because they were prepared, Father, because they listened to your servants, Father, because they heard your servants and did according to what you said to do, Father. But for those of us who may not have made those preparations, Father, be merciful unto us, Father. And let us learn from that example, Father, to not be slothful, to not be slack, but to keep our minds, our hearts, our spirits, as well as our physical being. And again, look after us with mercy, with kindness, Father.
And those of us that may be ailing, that may be hurting, Father, as the word says, confession is made unto salvation. Let us follow in the example of the spiritual leader that you gave us, who took the time to get naked and share what he is going through. Those of us that have known him for a while know that he's a quiet, private person, Father. But we see that you are changing him, that you are working within him, Father, to allow him to open up more, Father. So as our previous leader and our current leader, led by example through the word, Father, give us humble hearts to follow after him and to follow after you as he follows after you. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of your Son, your precious Son, who you sent down here to die for our sins, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Love you all. And thank you to my sisters and to my brothers who chimed in today to share your testimony. Hallelujah.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yes.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
it
down.
Raining down here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory,
we're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principality messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
Over the enemy.